Thank you, Gail. Well, good morning. If you'd like to follow along with me, I will be in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 14 to 17. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Your word says to stand firm against the schemes of the devil by putting on the armor, your armor, and help us to take up your full armor, as your word says. And we just pray for Pastor Don this morning as he brings your message from this passage. Just give him the right words for us to hear and help us to grow and mature in what your word says. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
So last week, our visual aid was sponsored by Trish. This week, our visual aid is sponsored by Faye Reese. So I have the breastplate upside down. The breastplate of righteousness. So our text for today is Ephesians 6:14, and once again we're looking at the armor of God. And last week Neil read the same verses, and we are going to have those. He's going to memorize the armor of God if he hasn't already, because that's what we're going to be going through for the next few weeks. And our text today is Ephesians 6:14. It's the second part, part B, on the shield of righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness. And last week we talked about the belt of truth as part of our armor. So if you have a Bible, please turn to Ephesians 6:14 if you're not already there. If you don't have a Bible, we can get you one. And there are some available by the front door so you can follow along in our passage today. Ephesians 6:14 says, "Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness." So I'm about to read from the book of Isaiah. And this is the scripture, I believe, that came to Paul's mind, and he used the Roman soldier to illuminate the biblical truth that he saw in this passage in Isaiah. But before I start, I want us to pray together, because I really want us to really focus in this and really like for us to understand the importance of this breastplate. And before we read these scriptures, so if you'll just pray with me, bow your heads. Oh, Father, we live in a time where there is no justice, where righteousness is seldom seen, and everyone decides for themselves what truth is. This is nothing new, Lord. We know this because we see it here in Isaiah. This is the heart of man because of the fall. Those who desire righteousness, truth, and justice are not being allowed to have a voice in many areas of our society. Those who repent of wickedness and turn to you make themselves a target for the fiery darts of Satan. We know that you are displeased with mankind's rejection of all that is good and true. And we also understand that with your own strength, you provided us a Redeemer, one who wears righteousness as a breastplate, the very one we worship as our Lord, Jesus Christ. So we just thank you, God, for that. Help us truly realize today that as you looked on the human condition, we were helpless and unable to bring righteousness near. That is what our Redeemer did for us. Without him, there would be no justice, no righteousness or truth. We need you in Jesus' name. Amen. So reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 59, I'm going to start with verse 14. And it says this, "Justice is turned back, and righteousness stands far away. For truth has stumbled in the street, and uprightness cannot enter. Yes, truth is lacking, and he who turns aside from evil makes himself a prey. Now the Lord saw, and it was displeasing in his sight that there was no justice. And he saw that there was no man, and he was astonished that there was no one to intercede. Then his own arm brought salvation to him, and his righteousness upheld him. He put on righteousness like a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation on his head, and he put his garments of vengeance for clothing and wrapped himself with zeal as a mantle. according to their deeds, so he will repay. Wrath to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the coastlands he will make recompense. So there will be fear. So they will fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. For he will come like a rushing stream, which the wind of the Lord drives. A redeemer will come to Zion, and those who turn from transgression in Jacob, declares the Lord. We see here in Isaiah that God reached out of eternity to supply us salvation and to give us righteousness. And it is through Jesus Christ that we have righteousness. That one that came as a babe in Bethlehem is the promise, and it's Jesus. Ephesians 1 verse 7 tells us that we are redeemed by Christ's blood. He is the solution to our unrighteousness. He is the one that has been proclaimed that would come. And Paul is writing this letter detailing the armor of God to saved people. This is teaching saved people who the Redeemer is. This is telling us to put on our breastplate, which we'll see is Jesus Christ, because he is the only one that is righteous. We've heard the word of truth. If we've been in church for very long, we are soldiers in a kingdom. In his kingdom, if we are saved, and we've been coming to church, we've heard the word of truth, we've been coming to church and reading our Bibles through many of us for most of our lives. But does that mean we're automatically soldiers of the cross? Does that automatically make us able to wear the breastplate of righteousness? In order to be soldiers of the kingdom, we must be saved by putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's the first thing. We talked about that last week, that we must be clothed first and be clothed in Christ. That armor is not a uniform or clothing. It goes over the clothing. So we must be clothed in Christ. So those that put on this breastplate of faith, of righteousness, are ones who are believers. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says this, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart of a person, with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. So if we were to put on this breastplate of righteousness, it shows here clearly that we must be believers. So the first step is understanding what belief, what is that belief that provides righteousness? Is it just believing simply that there is a Christ, there is a God? Well, if we look at the scripture, there are many who have made a statement of faith based on this scripture in Romans 10 alone. They believe they can just say the magic words and they're saved. That this scripture tells us out of the heart first comes before the profession of faith. And we have in our churches made belief from the heart into works by just saying a prayer and confessing acknowledgement that Jesus is Lord. But if you believe that is all you need to do is confess, then you're sadly mistaken. The confession is not that you make an affirmation, there is a God. There is a Jesus. It's not even an acknowledgement that he, Jesus, is the way of salvation. The key is that he is Lord. He is Lord. To have Jesus as your Lord is that you transfer your will and living your life the way you want to live it to him, giving your whole life totally to him. That is having him Lord over your life. That is what a believer does from their heart. They say, I can't do this life like this anymore. What I've been doing is not what I should be doing. So Lord, take charge of my life. Take me and change me. Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines righteousness as acting in accord with divine or moral law, free from guilt or sin. We can better understand what a belief that saves is if we understand how belief goes hand in hand with obedience. The devil and his demons are not righteous. They are not acting in accordance with the divine or moral law. In James 2:19, it says, you believe that God is one and you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. I'm pretty sure everyone here agrees with the statement that demons are not righteous, but yet they believe in God. and yet they know who Christ is. So the one we worship is Lord. The one we say is Lord. It's not just an affirmation that we believe who he is, because the demons do that. It's more than that. It's letting him take control of your life. Let's look at this breastplate. The one we worship as the Lord to help us, we must really, truly realize today of who he is. You see, the evil spirit world believes in the Trinity. And they know because they actually see the forces of God every day. And Satan goes before the Lord and recognizes him as the one who came to earth in human form. Belief there is in God, or even talking to God, does not make you a saved, righteous person. It is only through the act of submission to God, letting God decide for you everything you think, say, or do, and to be Lord over your life. So if we look at Romans 10:10 here, it says, "For with the heart a person believes." So first it's in the heart. It's in the heart, resulting in righteousness. Because once we believe Christ that Christ is who he says he is, and we understand, that is the moment that Christ makes us righteous. He transfers his righteousness to us, and he takes our sin. And it says, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. It's just a normal speaking of what comes out of our heart. We will speak what we believe. And it's not the speaking that results in salvation. Christ's death on the cross resulted in the salvation for you. It's your accepting of that and your willingness to say what comes out of your heart and proclaim it. First, the belief comes from the heart, not the mouth. It's only because a person has already had given the Lord control over his or her life. As a result, a confession from the mouth. It's not the other way around. Merely saying Jesus is Lord and believing that God exists does not make you saved. It does not have the resulting effects of righteousness being imputed to you. As we read in our opening scripture, God looked upon humanity and saw that there was no one who had any truth, any justice, any righteousness in them. So God, from his own strength, remedied the situation by supplying a redeemer. And this is Jesus. So that we can be clothed in his righteousness by believing that he is Lord. We sing the song, "O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord." And to be Lord is to mean he's in control of your life. So my question to all of us is, are we making him Lord of our life? We have to fight believing the message of a cheap gospel preached in many of our churches today. Many people think, "Oh, I've accepted Christ. I said a prayer." And their lives look no different than the day they walked into church and made that confession. It's a cheap gospel. Come as you are. God accepts everybody without any repentance. All you have to do is say you believe. And this is a message of works, that by our proclamation alone we are saved. By the fact that we were baptized as a child. By the fact that we come to church even. I come to church, I'm saved. None of those things make you saved. The very one who wrote this letter, the Apostle Paul, shows us what true belief is. Paul was zealous for God as a Pharisee. He was a pious, religious man who relied on his cleverness and his education. And he thought because of his works he was righteous before God. Until he met Jesus face to face on the road to Damascus. Then everything changed in his life. On the road to Damascus, he was blinded, fell to his knees, and he said to the voice he heard speaking to him, "Lord, who are you?" When Paul meets Jesus, the immediate response is "Lord." That needs to be our immediate response when we come to know salvation and come to know who he is. You see, and from that day on, Paul obeyed the Lord. His life was different, totally changed from what he was. Paul was led all over the Roman Empire, facing harm to his own body in obedience to the Lord. And what was the cause of this change? From killing Christians to being one? From persecutor to persecuted? Well, he met Jesus. It changed him. And he writes about this realization he had in the book of Romans, chapter 3. Romans 3:20, he says, "Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. These two verses clearly show that we cannot be justified or right with God by working our way to obedience to any law. Law shows that we are sinners, and sinners, therefore, cannot make themselves right with God. There's no righteousness in them. But through Christ, which is the manifestation of God, who obeyed every word spoken by God through the word of God and his prophets, God has made a way for us to be righteous. And how do we have this righteousness? Well, Philippians 3:9 says, and may be found in him, not having righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. And we read here that righteousness depends on faith. Faith in the one God who sent to redeem us. See, to be a Christian is to be radically different from the way you once were. And the longer you are a true Christian, the more you realize how unrighteous you are. The more you understand the law requirements, the more you realize there is no way I could ever do good enough deeds to tip the balance in my favor. We need Christ's righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness is not something we can build ourselves. It belongs to Christ, and it is He who you must take it from. It is His breastplate put over us to protect our heart. That is what a breastplate does. It protects the vital organs from injury causing damage and resulting in death. And if we're trying to be righteous by our own merits, we're wearing rags to cover our heart instead of sturdy armor. Look at Isaiah 64:6. For all of us have become like one who is unclean. In all our righteous deeds, what we can do, our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment. And all of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. That's the human condition. See, that's what our righteousness is rags. It has no protection. It's not armor. If we're not true believers, then we cannot take the breastplate of righteousness from Christ because, frankly, it's not offered to non-combatants. Only those that are in the fight, only those that are saved and are truly the Lord's are in the fight and they can use the armor. It's only offered to those who are saved. Saved people are placed directly into the fight because they have no choice but to war against the forces opposed to their Lord, their master, their commander. So how do you know that you have true belief that results in righteousness that we read in Romans 10. How do we know? How do we look at ourselves? Paul says we need to examine ourselves. So let's examine ourselves. First question we need to be answered, are we even in the fight? Because if we're not, the armor doesn't matter. So are we saved? Number one, a true believer is obedient to Christ. They're making every effort to combat sin in their life. We are all sinners and fall short of true obedience. The difference is that a true believer and a person who only acknowledges that, and the difference between a true believer and a person who only acknowledges that there is a God is this: the true believer does something about sin when they see it in their lives. A person who only acknowledges Jesus thinks little about or doesn't even notice sin at all, doesn't recognize sin. True believers will say, I cannot and will not live with myself continuing to dishonor my Lord with disobedience. Those that only acknowledge will say, well, God knows that I'm a sinner. Or I have this sin because, and blame it on their past or somebody else. Will not take responsibility for the sin. Or they just say, that's the way I am. I'm not going to change because that's just the way I am. And they refuse to change. But most of the time, acknowledgers can't even really tell sin from truth, from righteousness. Sin is not what they are even aware of today to day. They're not aware of it because the world isn't aware of sin. They may have a conscience, they may know something is wrong, but they don't hold it deeply that this is wrong and I need to change it. People who live like the world are not obedient to Christ. Number two, a true believer will take God's word for what it says. They see the word of God as the basis on which all decisions, all thoughts and deeds are based on. After all, it was written by the hand of God. It was written by the Holy Spirit, the Bible was. True believers believe that it's God-inspired words, not just written by men, but God Himself. An acknowledger will take the Bible as a good book with wise sayings put together by a bunch of different men. Then they have the right to decide for themselves what they are going to follow or not. Oftentimes they look for people who agree with their philosophies to listen to. They do not back up Scripture with Scripture. Instead, they take Scripture many times out of context to back up their own philosophies that they hold dear. And when they cannot get around their philosophy, they either add to or take away from the Word to make it agree with them. We see that in many churches today. They want to acknowledge God, but they don't trust His Word. Oftentimes they see Bible teachers who take the Word of God at face value, mean-spirited and not loving to others, because they do not agree with Scripture as written, and they think that that type of Bible teacher is doing exactly what they are doing, bolstering their own philosophies. Well, you're using the Bible to bolster your philosophy. Well, I see God this way. You have to use Scripture to interpret Scripture. We can't bring anything else in. The Bible speaks for itself. Number three, a true believer leans on the merits of Christ for salvation. One who only acknowledges God thinks they are saved by what they have done or are doing. They do not point at Christ as what He has done in their life. They point at baptism. They point at church attendance, their giving, and a host of other works as their reason they should be counted as righteous. So if we're put on this breastplate of righteousness, it's not by our own works. It's not by those things that we do. It's what Christ does. Second question is, if we are indeed in the fight and we are saved, are we wearing the armor? This question we battle with as believers because we know sometimes we tend to get battle weary. Sometimes have the trials of life and the arrows from Satan. We have been fighting so long and we just want to relax and take some time off from the battlefield. See, this is what it means to wear the breastplate of righteousness. It's continuing to stay in the fight. It is continuing to keep trusting the gospel, to keep trusting that it is not my righteousness that qualifies me for eternal life in heaven. It is Christ's righteousness only. And that our battlefield duty does not end after a perceived amount of time or when we get tired or when we get offended or when we get persecuted for Christ's sake. We can retire from our jobs, but we never can retire from our service on the battlefield of spiritual warfare. Until our last breath, we are on the battlefield. And there are many who start out with great desire to serve Christ. And many have retired early. And there are those who have attended church for years and have served God faithfully. And they no longer attend church. They no longer are in the fight. You see, we can leave our first love to find enjoyment in other things, in hobbies and pursuits of worldly pleasures. Revelation 2:5, Jesus says this, "But I have this against you, that you have left your first love." The more you understand the law's requirements, the more you realize there is no way I can ever do good enough deeds. The more we understand that we need to be on the battlefield every day, no matter what Satan throws at us, no matter how weary we are, we need to have Christ as our first love. You see, that's what it means to wear the breastplate. Essentially, many Christians have handed back the breastplate to Christ and said, "I'm done. I've retired from service and I'll no longer be needing this." It's good we serve a commander that does not put us up on dereliction of duty charges immediately. We all do that. I'm just weary, I'm tired. Turning in his uniform and say, could you imagine this in a battlefield situation, a soldier turning in his uniform saying, "You know, I was really excited about the military when I enlisted, but now not so much. I am weary and I'm worn out. It's time that I left this army and did something I enjoy." If you were not shot on the spot for desertion, you would probably be put right back on the battlefield and brought up on charges later. And I'm glad our commander is loving and kind, that he does not do that to us. God says, you can leave the battlefield, but remember, I will not show mercy forever on your decision. There will be consequences to pay for your disloyalty unless you reconsider and get back in the fight. The first love is love for Christ. That's our first love, the love for Christ. The sad part is that there will be those who walk off the battlefield that never really loved Christ. They only got involved with church and religions for its benefits. They never really wanted to be in a fight. Then after a while, that type of relationship is not sustainable, especially in the battlefield of spiritual warfare. It can't be sustained because they weren't ready for a battle. The attraction is not there any longer because they really just wanted power and recognition for themselves by coming to church. Or an easy road to heaven. John 2:19 says this. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they are not of us. Christ knows if you're truly a soldier for the cross. He knows. You will hear what he is saying and return to duty. And we all do as we realize, I need to do something. I need to change. I need to go back what I was doing. I don't need to be weary. I need to get back on the battlefield. There'll be no more mention of your disloyalty by Christ. It's forgiven. We come back, it's forgotten, and you're welcome back to the fight. However, if you do not return, then you're only in it for yourself. You never really put on the uniform and the armor. Christ knows those who've been playing around looking like a soldier because he knows they really never took the breastplate from him. They're not fooling God by pretending to play army with fake armor and weapons. They may have fooled those in church and even themselves, but not God. All of us that love Christ can have lapses in their devotion, but Christ will bring you back to himself. If you are a believer, then you cannot fail. Philippians 1:6, for I am confident in this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. That's the good thing about being saved, that we will persevere. We will be brought to where God wants us, which is with him in heaven. He'll get us back on the battlefield if we go astray. And God knows that we have a tendency to wander when we get tired. As the old hymn goes, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. That's all of us. We will persevere and keep the breastplate of righteousness even when faced with fatigue, and we will be rewarded. And the God of goodness will never leave us or forsake us. He will finish what he has started in us, and he will never let us go AWOL forever if we are his. Finally, are we guarding our hearts? That's what we need to do. Am I guarding my heart? The most important reason to have a breastplate on is what I mentioned earlier, describing what the breastplate does. A breastplate protects our vital organs. It protects our heart. And through sound teaching and doctrine, we guard our spiritual heart. If we want to keep our hearts from being pierced with wickedness, we must believe on Christ, seeking only his righteousness and his word. That is how we keep our breastplate. That is how we protect our hearts. We cannot rely on our own righteousness. It will fail us every time. Without the righteousness of Christ, we are not guarding our hearts from those things that pierce our hearts. Those fiery darts that we're going to read next, coming up in our word about keeping the armor on. Paul talks about fiery darts. Those darts from Satan, those arrows from Satan. Jesus is the protection. He is our righteousness. He is the one that guards our hearts from all onslaughts. John Piper puts it this way, what we need is righteousness to be acceptable to God. But we don't have it. What we have is sin. And that's all we come to the table with. God has then what we need and do not deserve, and that's righteousness. And we have what God hates and rejects. That's sin. The answer to this problem is Jesus Christ. The answer to having no righteousness is Jesus Christ. And God has made us a way for us to have what we do not deserve. Romans 8:3. For what the law could not do weak as though it was through the flesh, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And as an offering for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. Whose flesh bore condemnation? Christ. Whose sins were being condemned? Ours. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin in our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. This is the great exchange. God lays our sins on Christ and punishes them in Him. And in Christ's obedient death, God fulfills and vindicates His righteousness and imputes or credits to us His righteousness. Our sin on Christ, His righteousness on us. That's the great exchange. For grace, by Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that of not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. To wear the breastplate of righteousness then is to have made the great exchange. By truly believing in your heart that Christ is the Savior. By truly speaking from belief out of your mouth to others. And Christ gives us His righteousness if we are saved. That's where the breastplate comes from. We continue to wear it as long as He is our strength and He is our refuge. Not ourselves, by our works. Not on our merits. Trying to be good people. But only by His righteousness through faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, that You sent Your Son, and we think about that this time of year, is how You sent Your Son, and that He came as a babe, but He came to die for us on the cross so that we can have righteousness. So help us to live our lives in Christ, to be mindful of our own sins, that we're repentant people and that we are led by our Lord and our Commander. And Lord, I pray for those, if there's any here today that do not know You, that they put their full trust in You today and make Christ the Lord of their life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.